Number two. How's that? Does that sound okay? I'll be talking. Yep. All right, great. Perfect. Good.
You're number one, right?
I am, yes, number one.
Cool.
We're good? Good? All right, joining me on the podcast today is comedian Jim Norton. Thanks for being here, dude.
Thank you.
You're going to be at Cobb's Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow night. Tonight is Friday, April 5th. Tomorrow is April 6th. Tickets are still available at cobbscomedy.com. How are you feeling about being in the Bay Area this weekend?
I love it out here. I'm always tired when I come, and I always feel kind of beat up. And by the time I feel good, I have to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like it out here. I mean, I just don't do anything.
Really? So you don't party it up when you travel?
No, I suck. I'll do, after this, I'm going to go back to the room. I have to talk to a lawyer for a little while about something, and I'll nap and do the shows, sleep late tomorrow. I'm doing Doug Benson's podcast at my shows, and I'm home Sunday. Yeah, I'm very lame on the road.
Where's home?
New York.
Okay. So you're very lame on the road. Have you always been lame on the road, or did you have partying days where you'd like rage it up before and after your shows?
You know, I just, because you're starting like at 7, you get there at 7 o'clock, you're not done until like 11:30 or 12 o'clock. I usually go out to eat.
Yeah.
But if I go, I'm not a club person. Yeah. I don't drink, so I'm not comfortable in clubs. Sure. I can't dance. Strip clubs bother me because they're too frustrating. So I've never really been big on going out after shows.
Okay.
Which is kind of good. It keeps you out of trouble.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So you're in town for the weekend. You're not going to do anything crazy. You're going to do your shows. So the last time you performed in San Francisco, were you at Cobb's or were you somewhere else?
Cobb's. I might have been a theater. It was either Cobb's or a theater.
Do you ever do some sightseeing while you're here?
No. I dated a girl in Oakland years ago, and I went to Alcatraz.
Oh.
But after that, I've done nothing. I mean, that's probably the only sightseeing. That wasn't even wrapped around a gig. I'll walk by the wharf for a half hour, and I'll tell people like I did touristy stuff.
Sure.
But no, I don't do anything.
Now, if you have to do a lot of these, I say have to. It's kind of fun sometimes, I would guess, doing these types of interviews and talking about your show and stuff. But if you had to do a full day of whether it's radio or TV interviews or whatever it might be, what would you want to talk about if you could choose the subject?
How I was probably going to hang myself at the end of the day because I was doing interviews all day. I hate it. But I do radio in New York every day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's my job. So it's like Monday through Thursday from 7 to 10 on Sirius, I'm doing radio. So it's like I'm used to talking, and I'm just sick of my own voice after a while.
I'm not sick of your voice yet. This is my first time in. Actually, I feel like I might have had you on a show when I was in Vegas. You do some stuff with the UFC, yeah?
I do, yeah. I do a podcast.
Okay, so I was on X107.5 is just the station I was on in Vegas, and we did a lot of partnerships with UFC. And so when I heard you were coming to town, I'm like, I think I talked to him before, but it's been many years, and I can't remember exactly. So there's really no point to me telling you this.
That's okay. I do that all the time, too. Like, yeah, I think we've spoken, but I have no idea where it was or what station.
It's kind of what happens with this industry is, like, you forget, and time goes on, and then for me, I'm a drinker, so I have a few drinks, and I forget everything that happened that week.
Do you know what's funny? I get mad. Like, if I do somebody's show, and then I see them, and they, or if I have somebody on my show, and they don't remember me, I'm like, I interviewed you. How do you not remember me? But then I realize I don't remember them half the time. Like, I was in Vegas, and there's a guy in front of me talking to me, and I knew him.
Yeah.
We were watching the UFC, and I'm like, he's a fighter, I know him. But it turns out he was an actor, and I didn't realize until after. But he was talking to me, very familiar.
Sure.
And I'm like, I know who he is. And I realized I had interviewed him on my show, and I had no memory.
Could he tell that you didn't remember him?
No, I'm pretty good at covering, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's good to see. Like, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, long time, buddy.
Yeah, no idea at all.
So there's a lot going on, obviously. Well, there's always a lot going on in the UFC, but like with Conor McGregor lately.
Yeah, those are, you know, the charges and then the fact that he beat some guy's cell phone up. You know, it's like, just stop drinking and going to clubs.
He's a hot mess. Well, not only that, he was tweeting about, I'm going to butcher his name.
Habib Nurmagomedov,
Habib's wife. He was tweeting out stuff about her.
When?
And he quickly deleted it. It was like a day or two ago. It might have been yesterday. I read the headline. I didn't get to see what he said, but it was so bad that it got deleted pretty quickly.
Oh, did he really? Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think his retirement's for real, or do you think he's going
to
come back?
I don't know. I mean, he's really good at hyping up a fight. Yeah. He's really, everybody wants to fight him. I mean, everybody complains about the things he says, but Conor makes money, and everybody wants to fight him. Like, Khabib knew what he was going to do before they fought.
Sure.
He tends to make it a little personal, I think, Conor, because he wants it to hurt, and he wants to get in your head. You know, and he wants you to pull a Jose Aldo, you walk in there in 13 seconds, or 12, according to Conor, and get knocked out, because you're so pissed off at him.
Do you think a lot of it's hype, or do you think that he genuinely is that big of a hothead, or do you think he just hams it up like times 1,000 for the media and the press?
I mean, look, you know, after he loses, I like him more. You know, you see Conor in a post-fight interview, he's humble when he loses, so he's not crazy. He's, you know, he's pretty grounded. So I think a lot of that is he understands it's going to translate to making a lot of money. He's not stupid.
Yeah. So you've done a lot of things in your career. You've been in TV shows. You've done comedy. Obviously, you're doing the UFC stuff. You've done radio. I mean, you're like all over the board.
Yeah.
That's pretty exhausting, yeah?
It's desperate. I'm just desperate. That's all it is. You're like, you're terrified that everything's going to be taken away from you.
Yeah.
So you just do a bunch of stuff because they can't take everything away. There's got to be some order to them removing everything. That's
Dude,
all it is.
That's so smart. Everyone tells me that, you know, I'm working on other things and stuff. You got to have more than just radio.
You have to.
You got to have more than just one thing. If you were forced to do just one job, which one would you pick?
You know, it's between radio and stand-up. At one point, I would have said only stand-up, but there's so much traveling with stand-up, and radio is different every day.
Yeah.
So I might choose radio. And plus, it pays more. You know, like overall, it's a real job,
right?
And every
sometimes
day,
sometimes you get benefits.
I don't get benefits. So I'm an independent contractor, but it's like,
yeah, you're right.
You know, I have insurance through SAG.
Sure.
But every day it's different. You never say the same mm-hmm. thing. So I kind of like the radio. Just kind of is fresh every day.
No, I can agree with that. I mean, I don't do stand up. I really don't do anything else besides voiceover work. But radio, I mean, that's the best part of the gig, is being able to talk to people. You know, everything's changing. The worst, though, and maybe you can relate to this, is when there's like no shit going on. Like, there's no good, like, there's no fun, juicy news to talk about or anything super. Like, every once in a while, every couple months, I'll get one of those days where I'm like scanning the news and I'm like, fuck.
There's nothing
going on. I have to like rehash some shit from the past.
Well, that's when your personal life comes up. See, that's like all the confessions I've made on the radio. It's always on a slow news day because we get hours to kill. And I'm like, there's nothing going on. All right, let me talk about a homosexual experience I had when I was a kid.
I was just going to ask you, what's your biggest confession?
All that stuff. I mean, my sexual stuff. I mean, but there's really no more confessions. I've kind of told almost everything.
I haven't heard them.
You name it.
I mean, I could Google it, but I'd rather you tell me. Give me one good confession.
It doesn't even feel like a confession. I had oral sex with all my friends when I was a kid. We'd blow each other.
Yeah?
Like, I mean, that doesn't even feel like... It's not a confession
to you, but for me, who hasn't heard that story, I'm like... This is really fucking interesting.
That's so old school. For me. I feel like I'm telling you, I have a bottle of water.
I know,
but I did
an
HBO special. I called it Monster Rain because that's the game we would play.
Oh, okay. So now I feel like a dick because I haven't.
No, seen no. But I mean, that's the game that we would play. Yeah. We would blow each other and pretend we were hiding from Monster Rain when I was a kid. And when I first told that story in 2003, it was weird to say it to an audience. But after a while, you're like, oh yeah, there's that. None of it feels confessional. You're numb to it. Yeah. None of it feels confessional.
We talked about that earlier on the show today. Was it yesterday? We were talking about masturbating or something. Today was nudity with the chick, the teacher that got fired because a student got hold of a photo of
topless photo, yeah.
Yeah, and so we had one caller who called in and said, listen, I don't have any problem with her, you know, with what she did, but you got to keep in mind that the sanctity of nudity in your body is kind of losing its appeal because people are becoming numb to it. Teacher's own, I don't want to get into that topical debate, but like the truth is the more you're exposed to something and the more you see it or share it, you just become numb to it. So your stories about blowing other kids seem like no big deal to you now.
Sure.
But look at that. My reaction the first time I've heard you tell that story, even in its brief little tidbit, I was like, oh, shit. Because I'm not numb to it yet.
And
so.
I love the idea that they think nudity is losing its effect. Every fucking statue in Rome had a dick or breasts in it. What are they talking about?
And none of them were hot.
No, they were awful. The dicks were tiny. The breasts were kind of like, they were all B cups,
right?
Which are nice, but you don't need to make a statue for it.
Right. Well, you know what I love about those statues is that they all have love handles.
They do.
And I'm like, okay. So, but I wish maybe I lived in those times where like, oh, you're so beautiful. You're a little bit fat. I'm going to sculpt you out of stone. Yeah. Right?
That would make the men have a full head of hair. Like, you're not going to have an awful body, but you have a full head of curly hair. Yeah. Like, that was what masculinity was.
The dudes were always chiseled. Like, the dudes always had great physiques, you know, muscular, and a full head of hair. But then the chicks that they sculpted always had, I mean, they weren't, like, fat, but they always had, like, normal female bodies. Like, they didn't have abs and shit.
No.
Why can't we? What do we have to do to make people desensitized to chicks having abs?
I don't know.
Like, why can't the norm be like muffin tops?
I like a girl with abs.
Well,
but I don't offer that. That's the beauty.
I wish I had abs, but at the same time, I'm like, I wish the appeal was a muffin top because that'd be way easier to attain.
You know, the girl, I'm seeing somebody very casually now, and I put on like 8 pounds and she likes it. She's like, no, don't go. You were too skinny before. But I always feel like that's a lie. I always feel like she wants me to stay like this. This way, if she fucks somebody else, she won't feel as guilty.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Jim doesn't have abs. Fuck him. I don't
care.
Right.
This guy has abs.
Yeah. I don't necessarily believe it.
Did you put on the 8 pounds because of her?
No, I just did. After a while, you're on the road. You get sick and tired of obsessing over it.
I feel like it's a normal thing in relationships, though, where people start getting fat. Because they start dating someone and then they're like, oh, let's go out to eat together, or let's go get dessert, or like all that shit happens. And then you get fat with each other. But it kind of is like dual purpose, because if that your significant other gets fat, they're less appealing to other people and vice
versa. Sure. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they're also less appealing to me. Like if she put weight on, I'd be like, you better stop eating or I'm going to cheat, you know?
Right?
Yeah.
That's funny. Is she pretty fit?
Yeah.
She have a six pack?
No.
No?
No, but good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. How long have you been dating her?
On and off for like 6 months. I mean, it's casual.
Hey, that's casual, but 6 months, that's a minute, man. That's like...
But on and off, like, you know what I mean? It happens, and then we don't for a while.
Well,
then...
I'm not going to ask you a whole lot of details, but does she live close to you, close enough, or do you have to travel to see her?
She lives within an hour.
Okay. And you're only seeing it, like, it's kind of on and off?
Yeah, well...
What are you scared of, dude?
Nothing. It's like we date other people.
Okay.
We date other people.
Are you honest with each other about it?
Yeah.
What if she said she was dating someone else just as much as she's dating you? Would you be a little jealous?
I would be, yeah. But I'm a weird cuck, too. Like, I like the sex stuff. Like, I like the idea that they're fucking somebody else, too. It turns me on.
Okay.
It's so bad.
So if she asked you to come over and watch?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be into that?
I would be, yeah. As long as I know she's with me. Like, okay. I've watched a couple of girls or the guys before, and it was really hot. It was so dirty.
Yeah.
So inappropriate and so personal. Like, you're watching her fuck somebody. So, right. So dirty. Afterwards, though, you got to watch it. Because you both have to have a set of rules that you're okay with. Because after it's over, you want to make sure that you've both obeyed the rules so there's no resentment.
Okay, so maybe that's the key to the next step with this chick. If you were like talking to her and she said, hey, why don't we take this to the next level? And, you know, I'd like you to start watching me sleep with other guys, but you're my man. Would you then want to get more serious with her?
I don't know. You know, it's like... A lot of times you want to know it, but watch out what you pray for. You know, you might not want it once you see it.
Yeah.
Because you can't unsee it. Uh-huh. So you got to start slow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to start slow because if it gets to be too much, you've only done a little bit. You don't want to commit and go all the way because it can fuck you up.
Do you think she's got a little bit of that freak in her?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Of course. Anybody I date does.
But
I mean,
6 months and you guys haven't kind of gone down that road.
Anybody that dates me knows that I've done a lot of stuff. And
well, she knows that. But like, I don't know. Like, I'm just saying like about... Maybe you need to explore that side of her.
Yeah, I tend to bring that out of people.
Yeah.
The desire to fuck other men.
Oh, dude. Well, I think that's... there's something to be said. If she knows you're into that stuff, which obviously you're very vocal and open about your past, like you said in your stand-up and all that stuff, it's really easy to find out stuff about a celebrity.
Sure.
So... She's obviously willingly dating you, knowing that stuff. I bet you anything she's willing to open those doors with you.
She might be, you know, again, a lot of people who will Google me will go, I don't want to date this guy. But the ones who do...
That's what I did when I Googled you. I was like, I don't
blame you. You're 100% right. But it's the ones who do are troopers.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, the ones who do stick around usually have some fucking darkness, which I like.
Yeah.
There's something going on mentally that's probably not healthy.
You're turned on by some weird shit. I like it.
Sure. I mean, it's like...
Well, I guess everyone is. But yeah.
We all are. Yeah. I mean... You know, how many girls have daddy fantasies or incest fantasies or crazy or things? Like, there's women who you would never believe the things that they fantasized about. I mean, I've had girls confess that they wanted to fuck dog. Like, I'm not kidding. That's not my thing. I think
right.
It's awful. But I've had women confess that. Like,
yeah.
They think it's sexy.
So they confess their deepest dark. I mean, that's some deep, dark stuff.
It is. And I never judge anybody or shame them for it. But, like, I can't go down that road with you. Like,
yeah.
It's just not my thing. It's like, all right, if you want to do that, that's fine. But it's not... You know, even talking about it doesn't do it for me.
Right.
But I don't feel as twisted because I've heard so many people that are quote unquote normal and they confess things are darker than what I like. And
yeah.
There are people who are not comedians who say everything on stage. They're just regular people. So I don't feel as bad saying the stuff I say.
Sure. Is there a fantasy that you have that you haven't explored yet?
Yeah. Just a healthy relationship. You know, when we have sex and then just like each other after.
Just spoon?
Yeah. We lay there and there's no money exchanged. Just something really simple like that. I introduce them to my parents.
Someone cooks breakfast in the morning. And
that literally is it. Just somebody who I say I love you and we meet each other's parents. That's
okay,
what I
so
want.
Okay. So that, now that I think about it, now that hearing you say that, maybe that's the path with this chick. If she hasn't like gone down the freaky road with you yet, maybe she's going to be that chick. I mean, I don't know. 6 months, though. To me, Gmo, do you think 6 months is a reasonable amount of time to where you might be starting to take the next step with someone? Or am I naive thinking that 6 months is a pretty solid start?
Nah.
It's not?
Nah.
All right.
It's a little soon.
Dating's changed a lot in the past 5, 10 years. So it's dating apps and everything, I can't, it's a trust thing.
It's very hard to not swipe, you know, because you get to, like, you go through a certain amount of relationship with someone before you ever meet them. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you're cheating on somebody as you're at dinner with them, you know, by talking to somebody else, it's very difficult to focus on one person.
Yeah.
Because there's so many apps.
Is that how you meet people on the apps?
Not as many. I do pretty shit on dating apps, but like people will message me on Instagram or on Twitter or on whatever if they know that it's actually me.
Yeah.
Or email. I get a lot of emails and, you know,
sliding into your DMs.
Yeah, after shows, I don't mind.
Do you hit up chicks, or is it usually a one-sided thing?
No, but either way.
Okay. How'd you meet this girl that you've been casually seeing?
She was at the Comedy Cellar.
Oh, okay.
At the Comedy Cellar, and we talked, and then she hit me up. You know, it's like one of those things where you kind of like, and then she's seeing someone, I'm seeing someone, but I really like her, and then we kind of fade apart because I go on the road. There's never anything shitty about it. It's just, you know.
That must be like I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I would think that'd be the coolest and the easiest way to connect with chicks, or guys for that matter, if it was a girl, or whoever, at your shows. After they totally get a vibe for your personality. You're able to sit and chat, and it becomes more of a real interaction.
Yeah,
that probably is a lot more successful than the fucking swiping left and right.
It is, yeah, because you're having a real interaction.
Yeah.
But the swiping is just an immediate. You should see some of the women I've swiped away. The fucking nerve of me, like these women that are way out of my league. I'm like, no, I don't think so. You know.
Well, what is it about them? What's the thing that makes you swipe?
When you're swiping, you can look for 100%. Perfection according to what you want. Mm-hmm. You can look for the echo chamber of opinions. You can look for, I want her to be, you know, 5'11. I want her to have big feet. I want her to have blah, blah, blah. You can have a whole list of things. And if she doesn't have one of those things, fuck her. The next one will. Mm-hmm. You just don't appreciate any one person. But if I met her in person, you know, we'd probably go, you know, I would fall in love with
her. Yeah. That's really, I mean, you make a good point. However, I've never put my shoe size into a dating app, so.
I know, most women don't, but I find out.
Is that your first question?
Not my first, but I'd like to find out. I like women with big feet. I'm really weird.
Big feet? Like, what's big?
10.
10?
Yeah.
See, okay, this is really encouraging, because I'm an 8.5.
That's nice.
I always feel like my feet are too big, and I'm a little self-conscious about it.
Sure, a lot of women are, yeah.
So I always wish I had like a size 7, but now I know that some guys are in a big feet. Okay, maybe I just need to find the right guy that's not going to think I have giant feet. But 8, I mean, I guess 8.
8.5 are good size.
I keep telling myself 8.5 is not too big.
No, it's not. How tall are you?
5'5".
Yeah, that's good size, yeah.
Okay. Wow, now you're totally, you know, boosting my self-esteem.
No, I like that. I don't want to. There's a trainer in my gym, and she's one of the, just an amazing body. She's beautiful. She's married, but I look at her, she has tiny feet. I'm like, yuck.
Like, how do you balance?
Fucking, yeah, those little size 5s. Fucking beat it with those kid feet. I like fucking boats.
What do you like to suck on toes? What's the deal?
I do. I like them on my face. Okay. It's not even a submissive thing. I just think they're sexy.
Huh. What if she's got fucked up toes, though?
I don't like that.
Okay.
I like nice feet.
Not just big feet. They have to be nice.
And feminine.
Big feet.
Yeah, I like
and
nice
feminine.
Feet.
You know who has good, sexy, big feet?
Who's
Paris
that?
Hilton.
She does?
Size 11.
Uma Thurman.
Yeah, she has good ones too.
Yes.
I asked Tarantino if he had a foot fetish. He didn't want to answer it.
Oh,
we were
man.
Interviewing him. I was like, do you like feet? He's like, I don't want to talk.
That wiggle your big toe scene.
Yeah. He could tell he likes feet.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, I guess because I'm not looking at chicks' feet, but
Tarantino, most of his films, the female lead is barefoot.
There's always something with feet.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I never noticed that.
Yeah, I think he likes feet.
If only I was a creep like you guys, I would catch on to those things.
Yeah, if it's like a thing with him, he just likes feet.
Now, for girls, though, it's different, though, because it's really hard. You can't just... To be attracted to a guy that has nice feet, guys don't have nice feet. Like, no, I don't know. Like, I've never seen a guy's foot and go, wow, that's a really nice looking foot. Guys' feet are always a little fucked up.
Yeah, and it's also, I think for men in general... Maybe I don't necessarily feel submissive, but it's more of a sub thing to like a woman's feet.
Yeah.
And for women, there's other ways to be submissive to men, being spanked or being overpowered.
Sure.
Whereas with guys, like, oh, I'm going to worship your feet. I don't know why, but I think it's more men are more likely to have a foot fetish.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah,
wow, I'm learning so much.
That's just my guess. I don't really know.
No, but who knows? I don't know. I'm kind of glad that I hadn't seen your HBO special, or that, you know, I didn't do a deep dive into your sexual fetishes, because I'm learning a lot today. It's like all new information. I'm not immune or like desensitized to it yet.
Yeah, good.
Anything else you want to share with me to blow my mind?
No, I don't think any of it should blow anybody's mind. For me, this is all so mild. It's very, very mild, normal dating stuff.
I'm just a big, boring nerd, I guess.
Not at all. I just love you. Size 8.5s are great.
Well, and I've got boots on. You haven't seen the actual foot.
Are they painted or no?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
You want to see my foot?
Sure do.
All right. Wait, now I feel bad. I'm like, I don't know if I have lotion on
my foot. Nah, it doesn't matter. Oh, they're really nice.
Yeah?
Wow, you have great feet.
Thanks. They're a little red because of my boots and my socks.
Oh, of course. But, yeah. No, they're really pretty.
Thanks.
Some people have awful feet. You're very lucky.
Wow. Well, you know what? People always ask me, like, oh, do you go get manicures? Because I do my own nails.
You do.
This, again, who really gives a fuck what I do with my nails and toes? But I'll tell you anyways, I do my own pedicures. But something about going and get, I do my own manicures, but getting a pedicure is like the biggest fucking treat in the world for me.
It is, right?
I don't care what it costs. It's that 10 minutes of like foot massage and then cleaning your feet. Like I walk out of there feeling like a goddamn princess.
Right. Like Caligula. Like they just really worshipped your feet and took care of you, of course.
Do you get manicures and pedicures?
No, I've gotten one of each. I don't know why. I'm so afraid. You know, Ozzy got a thumb infection or something from some manicure. Mm-hmm. Now I'm all paranoid that I'm going to get one. I just haven't done it.
Okay, treat yourself. Go to like a nice spa where you're not going to get all fucked up with a fungus. And it's this whole relaxing experience. You think, oh, they're just gonna like clean up my toenails. No, they like massage all the way up to your knee. They like salt scrub your leg and your feet.
Oh, that'd be nice.
You walk away from there with like the softest skin ever. You have no toe funk anymore. And you just look like, it's like a new you. Something about getting a pedicure and having your feet cleaned up is the best feeling.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, treat yourself today. Okay, so you said you don't like to go out and party and go to the clubs. While you're in San Francisco, you should go get yourself a nice pedicure.
Yeah, I'll go to the Tenderloin and get a pedicure.
Not one of those places where you get like you can actually opt for like a private pedicure with a happy ending.
And oh, stuff
like
okay.
That. I'm talking like go
legit.
To maybe your hotel.
Okay.
Okay. Jim Norton, it's been so awesome talking to you this morning. Your show tonight, Cops Comedy Club, and Saturday night as well. Tickets still available at copscomedy.com. You guys need to check it out.
Thanks for having me.
You got it, man.